Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission. Hello, friends, and welcome back. Today, we are going to finish up the Coworkers Bible study. And in our last episode, I took you on a whirlwind tour of 10 examples of God using women from the New Testament. And so today, we're going to look at instructions for women in their participation in the church and in how they are to serve in the home and in their communities. So let's jump into women's participation in the church. First of all, in 1 Corinthians 11, 12, and 14, Paul gives a lot of instructions for church worship. And in these instructions, he assumes active participation by the men and women present. Paul gives many examples of how men and women were participating. They were coming with hymns, lessons, revelations, tongues, and interpretations to share with one another, to build one another up. They were singing, praying, and prophesying. Now, we know that in today's churches, there are various ways that these truths are applied, but the main point is that men and women were all actively participating, and they were all exhorted to participate in an orderly way that allowed all to learn and be encouraged. Number two, the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to every believer, men and women, for the building up of the church. So Paul is explaining to the Corinthian church, every person gets spiritual gifts. There are varieties of gifts, services, and activities, and they are all empowered by the Spirit for the upbuilding of the church. And this is in 1 Corinthians 12. So we see examples of gifts such as wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, tongues, and interpretations. This is all from 1 Corinthians 12. And there are other lists of spiritual gifts in the New Testament as well. Again, there is a variety of ways that these gifts are practiced and that this is applied in churches today, but the main point is that every believer has equal access to the Holy Spirit, and God wants to use every believer to build up his church and to expand his kingdom. Thirdly, in our instructions for women in the church, we see that the elders of the church were to be qualified men, and they were to exercise authority and teach and protect sound doctrine. So we see the qualifications for elders in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. The first deacons, the deacons were different. They were chosen by the church to serve the church's needs, freeing the apostles to focus on prayer and teaching the word in Acts 6. Now, while the apostles and the elders' role is more authoritative, it is focused on teaching the word, the deacon's role is focused on serving the church. And we find the qualifications for deacons also in 1 Timothy 3, and they allow for men and women deacons. The Greek word that is used in 1 Timothy 3:11, gune, it can be translated as wives or women. It's used interchangeably for women and for wives, depending on the context. So this suggests that there may also have been female deaconesses. And we also know of the example of Phoebe from Romans 16:1, who was a deaconess in her church and that who Paul highly commended. Let's also look at some instructions for women in the home and in the community. And I just love how in the Word, we see God giving women many spheres of influence in our lives. So in the home, first of all, we will look at marriage roles. 1 Peter 3 and Ephesians 5 give roles for husbands and wives in the home. And Paul and Peter both taught that husbands were to be the leaders in the home. Husbands were to love and serve their wives like Christ loves the church, and wives are to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. Peter gave the example of Sarah, whose husband led her in leaving everything she knew and moving to an unknown land. And Sarah did not give in to fear. She trusted God and followed her husband down an unknown path. Sarah is such an encouraging example for me, for other missionary wives who may at times follow their husbands into new and unknown places. And Sarah is an example for all women to trust God and follow him wherever he leads. Secondly, married women in the church are to be faithful wives and mothers, submitting to their husbands, loving their children, and managing their households well. And we find this in a variety of scripture passages. Titus 2, 1 Timothy 5, 1 Peter 3, Ephesians 5 all talk about this. Paul is very clear. Married women are not to neglect their families. They are to respect and follow their husband's leadership, to love their husbands and children, manage their households well. Paul even encourages women to teach and encourage one another in these things. Now, this command to prioritize family is also for men, as elders and deacons were required to be faithful husbands and manage their households well in 1 Timothy 3, 4, and 12. Women in the church were also to be known for their good works, hospitality, and care for others. In 1 Timothy 2:10, it says that church women were to adorn themselves with good works. They were to be so preoccupied with good works that others noticed their good works more than their outward appearances. In 1 Timothy 5:9 through 10, Paul writes the qualifications required for a widow to receive financial support from the church. And they were to have been faithful wives and mothers, but also to be known for their good works, hospitality, and care for others. And we have seen so many examples of hospitable women in the early church in our survey. So we see both married women were to prioritize their service to their husbands and children, but also they were expected to serve others outside of their immediate families. So again, the Bible gives women many spheres of influence, and it is clear God wants to use women powerfully in their homes, churches, families, communities, and unreached places. And this task can be overwhelming at times for women, but we must remember the Holy Spirit empowers us for this work. And lastly, I just want to point out in Titus 2, women are commanded to teach one another and to learn from one another. Older women are to teach and train younger women on wifehood, motherhood, hospitality, kind, virtuous living, and all so that God's word won't be reviled. Now, this principle of women teaching women applies to both married and single women. Women can teach and encourage one another in a really special way. It goes far beyond just sharing food or homemaking tips. The ultimate purpose of this is so that God's word won't be reviled. And our relationships, our families in the church are to be pictures of God's love and character to those around us. Our lives are to make God's word look attractive to others for the furtherance of his kingdom, for his glory.
So here we are. We've come to the end of the study, the coworker study, where we've taken a survey of the New Testament, the ways that women were used by God in powerful ways in the mission of the church. In the first part, we looked back, beginning in Genesis 1 and 2, God's original design for men and women, and then jump forward to Acts 1 and 2 as well. And there, taking all those together, we saw just three kind of truths stand out, that all men and women both are full image bearers. We bear the stamp of the image of God. We've all been gifted fully with the Holy Spirit for ministry, for service, to glorify him. And then we all contribute and we're active as valuable members of the body. In the second part, Shaney walked through an overview of several examples from Scripture of how women were used, again, in powerful and diverse ways throughout all that survey. I hope you saw again and again just how God used women of all walks of life, all different seasons of life, and amazing ways to push the gospel forward in the New Testament world. And today, Shani walked through some of the general instructions that we find in the New Testament for women as they serve in the church and for women in homes and out in the community. And so as we come to the end of the study, we just want to emphasize the power of the biblical study and digging into the Bible together. There's no need for us to settle for vague or small expectations for how God wants to use women in the church and on the mission field. When we look to God's word as our guide, we find the clarity that we need. Men and women are brothers and sisters in God's family. We're co-workers in God's mission. Women serving alongside men as co-workers is a thread that begins in the establishment of the church in Acts 1, continues throughout the entire book of Acts into the rest of the epistles of the New Testament. So in the ministry of the early church and in the missionary journeys, women were fully involved and used by God in powerful and diverse ways. Today, in our churches, on our mission teams, we should expect women to labor side by side with men and to be used by God in various ways. And so we pray, we hope, that this biblical survey, this study that we've gone through, this co-worker study we've gone through together, will increase our faith that the Holy Spirit wants to do so much more than we can ask or imagine through all of us, through women in local churches, through women on missionary teams, and through women in unreached places who will become co-workers in the future.